Ever since I arrived here at the cathedral, I've apologized for the fact that you don't have a full-time pastor. A parish this big deserves to have one, but for the moment, that's not the case. Hopefully, one day it will be. But as many of you know, I also serve as vocations director or director of seminarians for the Catholic Diocese of Dodge City. Case in point, I returned just last night from a visit to Conception, Missouri. Conception Abbey, which is in Conception, Missouri, is a family of Benedictine monks. Some of you know Father Macario Martinez, who is from Garden City. Some of you know Father Rene Gessner, who is from St. John, or from Seward, actually, served in St. John and in Seward in our diocese. Both of them are monks of Conception Abbey. Conception, Missouri is also the site of Conception Seminary College, which was my primary reason to visit. One of our seminarians, Carson, from Scott City, who is a senior at Conception. So on those times when I'm away visiting our seminarians, particularly this weekend, I was grateful to Father Ted Skowski, who was here yesterday for most of the day, grateful to our staff, and of course to all of you for that patience and encouragement. It's interesting, during my little visit, I was mistaken, not once, but twice, for someone who I am not. Now, that could happen when someone has never met you. That could happen when someone thinks you look like someone else they know. Well, speaking of strangers, who is this man, Cyrus, in the first reading today? Well, it turns out that Cyrus is also someone who didn't know who he met. So to understand King Cyrus, we first need a little bit of history. I remember in my Old Testament class in the seminary, our professor said that if you are going to know one date from the Old Testament, if you're only going to know one date from the Old Testament, know 586 BC. 586 BC. That was the year when the temple was destroyed. In fact, that's the context of our first reading this morning, where it says that the Israelites living in Jerusalem committed infidelity upon infidelity. So for almost 200 years after David and Solomon, they lived in Jerusalem and acted as if there was no God. And the first reading said God was very patient. He would send prophets to them to help correct them. And then it finally said in the first reading, but eventually there was no remedy. So God let them suffer the consequences. You made your bed, you can sleep in it. And so the temple was destroyed in 586 BC. As we heard in the first reading, all of those who were in Jerusalem were captured and were sent to Babylon in captivity. What a significant date, because for the first time, there was no temple to pray in. That's actually where we got synagogues from. When they couldn't go to the temple to pray, they had to go somewhere to pray. So they created synagogues to begin praying in. That's why we sang in our psalm this morning, let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. And who was you? Jerusalem. We sang, by the streams of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, which is Jerusalem. So all of these readings today are focused on that one key year. Do you remember the year? 586 BC. how would they ever get back to Jerusalem? As they sit by the streams and weep, missing their home. Well, amazingly, it would take a person who wasn't even a Jew. In fact, a person who never knew God, never prayed to God, to say, okay, you're free. Go back to Jerusalem. In fact, go back and build your temple. And that man would be King Cyrus. So one of the people who didn't know me was on Friday at conception. We're walking in to one of the buildings together, and he looked at me and he said, I just saw your picture on the wall. I was like, no, I don't think you saw my picture on the wall. And he looks at me and he says, aren't you one of the monks? Said, no, I'm not one of the monks. Okay. But the first person who didn't recognize me was on Thursday on my way. I stopped at a store to shop for a pair of pants, and someone behind me says, excuse me, sir, can you help me find... He sees me in my clerics. Oh, no, no, no. Never mind. Never mind. But how does a man who has never heard of God come to know him? How could Cyrus, who never read about Adam or Noah or Abraham or Moses or David, how does Cyrus come to believe in God? Well, for those of you who are reading the Search book this Lent, or watching the videos of the Search this Lent, we have more books, by the way, and we run out, so we have more books in the office. You're still wanting to read it, still watch the videos. Well, for those of you who are, that's the video or the chapter that most of us watched this past week. Why a God? Why a God? And interestingly enough, the chapter, the video, was not about, well, because the Bible says so, or because the Ten Commandments say so, or because God says, I am who am. No. The videos and the chapter says, to find God, look around. Look at the beauty of this world. Or look in a microscope. Or look through a telescope. Or look back 14 billion years. All of that science, which the church encourages us to do. And in some cases, the church was the first to do it herself. As our author said, faith isn't anti-science. Faith gave birth to the sciences. Is it possible that this is how a Persian king came to know God? We don't know for sure. In the book of Isaiah, God says about Cyrus, it is I who arm you, though you know me not. All we hear today is that the Lord inspired King Cyrus to release the Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple. Well, I am neither a monk nor a sales associate, but someone looking at me could perhaps think I was. But is it possible that looking around, that looking at science, is it possible that a king, that a scientist, or that any one of us could look at the world in all its intricacy and see God.